Correct. Okay. On Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, on the second line from the top, the Gemara quotes this very famous Tosefta, where there's a Machlokes Hatanoim regarding Hilchas Pikuach Nefesh, Hakonas Nefoshes. It says in the Chumash, V'chai Bohem. You just heard a whole Shmuz. V'chai Bohem, Lo Shomas Bohem. You're not allowed to put yourself into a situation where there's a Sofka Sakana. You're not allowed to commit suicide. You're not allowed to do any activity that's a Sofka Sakana. And even if the activity is a mitzvah, a Sofka, a Svek Svek of the Koch Nefesh, is Doche Shabbos, Doche Kalat Arakul, except for the Gimel Aver Sachamuris. So here there's a question, how much of a Sofka does it have to be? What if it's a far-fetched Sofka? What if the Roiv is that there's no Sakana? Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? Let's say someone has an ingrown toenail. And once in a while, they write up in the newspapers that someone died of blood poisoning that began from an ingrown toenail. Say, allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to go to drive to the hospital on Shabbos because the person has pain from the ingrown toenail. So how much of a suffix, Hakonda, does it have to be? So the Gemara says in the end of the first parak in Ksubis, even though, let's say, the roiv is that there's no sakana, or let's say the roiv is that he's going to die anyway, even if you will drive him to the hospital on Shabbos, the roiv is going to die anyway, so you don't go basarev to say there's no sakana, you don't go basarev to say there's no use in being mechal Shabbos, not going to save his life anyway. If there's a far-fetched possibility that maybe doing this aveira will save his life, so you say that you're permitted and obligated to do that there. Yeah, but what if it's a very far-fetched suffix sakana? The odds are 1,000 to 1. The odds are 100,000 to 1. So that's ridiculous. So that's what the Gemara has, a machlekes hatanoim, Rameir and Achachamim. Rameir says that these three women should have to see to it that they don't become pregnant. Shalosh noshim mishamshes b'moich. The Rabbeinu Tam says, the mechuyev to me mishamshes b'moich. Rabbeinu Tam says the mechuyev to mishamish. Why? Because the suffix sakana, and we don't paskin like Reb Meir. We paskin like the Chachamim that the pasuk says shamer psayim Hashem. What does it mean? Achaz v'achzu mishamish is gedarko v'haleches min hashamayim yirachemu. What kind of a din is that? That shamer psayim Hashem. So the Rab Chaim Moshe has a tshuva where he quotes several major paskim from before his time. Chaim Moshe lived he died in 1940 or so. So he quotes Poskim from the earlier years that what the Gemara means to say is that if it's the suffix sakana is nowhere near 50-50, then it all depends on the person whose life is b'sakana. Is he nervous or not? If he's not nervous, then we call him a pesi. Shamei psayim Hashem. A pesi is not afraid of the suffix sakana. So whenever it's nowhere near 50-50 and the person whose life may or may not be in danger is not concerned about it, then it's not called Sofik Sakonis Nefoshet. If it's very close to 50-50, even if he's a daredevil and he's not nervous at all, but that's a Sofik Sakonis. But if it's far away from 50-50, so that dialogue is not considered Sofik Sakonis. It's based on this that they have in a biography of the Chazon Ish that he was in Eretz Yisrael before the Second World War. And when the Nazis were coming near Eretz Yisrael, that's when they started to lose. So they were bombing Eretz Yisrael to take over. They wanted to take over the whole world. So when they would bomb in the daytime, they'd be able to shoot down the planes. They used to drop their bombs at night. So at nighttime, they didn't have radar, so the only way they would know where the city is, in order to know where to drop the bombs is, if the people left on lights. So the pilot would see where the lights are, and he would know that's where you drop the bombs. Remember, when I was growing up in America, they used to have air raids. They used to have practice air raids, and Nazis were not near America, but they used to practice. So they would have the siren go off, and everybody had to turn off the lights at night. So in America, it was only a practice. So if they would have an air raid on a Friday night, you're not allowed to turn off. You're not allowed to turn off the lights because there's no real suffix hakana. And they would penalize you for not. If the police would go around, they would give a penalty to whoever left the lights on. So my father would explain that he's an Orthodox rabbi, I'm not allowed to turn off the lights unless it's a real sakana. So sometimes he got away with it, and sometimes he didn't get away with it. Sometimes he had to pay the penalty. But in Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't just a practice. The Nazis were dropping bombs over there. So So they asked the Chazon Ish, Shaila, what's the din? If they hear faintly from a distance that the siren went off far away, is that considered a Sofek Sakana? If we can barely hear the siren over there, we don't have any information at all, we don't know whether anywhere near us, is that considered a Sofek Sakana? So he said, based on this Gemara, he told over a story from the Chofetz Chaim, that when the Chofetz Chaim was once visiting a lodge, the people knew that he was there, so people came to ask him Eitzis and Shaila. So two men came to ask the exact same Shaila, about an hour apart from each other, that they had jobs, they were working, and they were Shamu Shabbos, so they barely made a living. If there would have been Mechal Shabbos, it would have made more Parnasa, but they were both Shamu Shabbos. So they both asked the same Shaila, maybe they should take a job. Anti-Semitism was building up. Maybe they should take a job to be Mechal Shabbos and make more money, to have money to put away in a savings account, in a bank, in a savings account, so that if and when anti-Semitism will get so bad that they'll have to run away for their lives, they'll have money to buy a ticket to go on a train. Because the way it is now, they had no savings whatsoever. So the Chofetz Chaim asked both of them, he asked, do you really think that you might be able to save your life by doing that? So the first one said he thinks it's a joke. He thinks that either the Nazis are going to kill him or they're not going to kill him. He doesn't think that this Eitzah, he's there to speak that he should take a job to be Mechal Shabbos Sofek Sakana, but he thinks that it's ridiculous. So the Chofetz Chaim told him, if you don't think that that may possibly save your life, then you're not allowed to do it. And the other one has said, yes, I think that it is a good plan. I think that I may die otherwise, and if I'll take a job to be Mechal Shabbos, make more money, put the money away in a bank account, maybe I'll be able to buy a ticket, maybe it will save my life. So for the exact same Shaila, so the one who personally was nervous about it, and he felt that maybe being Mechal Shabbos may save his life, so for him it is called the Sofek Sakon. So that was the situation. We were talking about one person and one person's family, so it depends on that person whether he thinks it's Sofek Sakon. So either Chazon Ish said, Benegir to the village, if nobody in the village is nervous, they hear from a distance on Friday night, they hear the siren went off, that there's an air raid over there, they think that the Nazis may drop a bomb in their village. And over here, if no one is nervous in this village, then it's not called the Sofek Sakana at all. Because it's a far-fetched way far, far off from 50-50. So the rive is that there's no Sofek Sakana. And when do we say, L'hoch b'pikoch nefoshes achar harive, that's if the fellow involved, the one whose life is involved, is nervous about it. But here, if all the people are not nervous, then it's not called the Sofek Sakana. That was a traditional pshat in this Gemara. Moshe Feinstein has a different opinion. He rejects this. He says, you shouldn't tell me that it depends whether it's anywhere near 50-50 or far away from 50-50. He doesn't like that pshat. But that was the traditional pshat. That Shem Yopsayim Hashem means whenever the Sofek Sakana is far off from 50-50, it depends on whether the person himself thinks that this may save his life. The din that Gemara is talking about, Tashmish B'moch, in modern society, this is the topic of birth control. When people get married, they want to postpone having children, so they do Tashmish B'moch. Yeah. So what's the story with birth control? So we know that there is a mitzvah, Pirei V'Rivya. Why don't we require of every child who becomes bar mitzvah, he should get married the day of his bar mitzvah in order to be able to have children? A cotton, we don't say there's chinuch and pirei v'rivya, a cotton is ena moilet, fine. But the day that he becomes bar mitzvah, why don't we read him a shidduch and have him get married? So the Beis Shmuel on the first page in Ebenezer raises that question, page Aleph Amud Aleph, and he answers it'll ruin his whole program for life. That the Tanoim said, Ben Shmona Esrei L'chuppah, why Ben Shmona Esrei L'chuppah? Because he's going to get married at the age of 13, his wife is going to have children, how is he going to support the children, how is he going to be able to make a parnasa? It'll just be ridiculous. So the mitzvah Pirei V'Rivya is when it's within reason. The Gemara has such an expression in the first parak in Kiddushin, where the Gemara talks about what's the halacha if you have a toss-up, lil matar v'lisa isha. If he's going to get married now, he won't be able to learn, he'll have to work for a living. And if he wants to learn, then he can't get married. What should he do? So the Gemara says, it depends whether you live in Bovala or it's Israel. It's a question, which community was which? Machlokes is Rashi and Tosfos. So the way they learn, if your parents are going to be supporting you, then you should get married right away. and have the parents support you, so you won't have a Dargas HaParnasa. But if you're talking about poor people, his parents cannot support them, and if the day he's going to get married, he's going to have to get a job. So then we say, let him not get married until after he learns up the storm, because Rechaim Mitzavar, V'yasek Batara, he's going to have the obligation, the Dargas HaParnasa on his shoulders, that he won't be able to concentrate on learning. So the Gemara says like that, basically. Even after the age of 18, not only from the time of Bar Mitzvah till the age of 18. The Beis Shmuel on the first page in Eben Ezra explains that's why the Tanaim said you're not mechuyev to try to get married the day of your Bar Mitzvah. You have till 18. Then the Gemara says even after 18, if he wants to learn a little bit, wants to learn a couple of years, he's going to get married. That'll interfere with his ability to function normally. So we say that he can postpone getting married. Let's say he already got married. He already has a job. But he doesn't want to have children right away for some reason or another. They want to get to know each other better. Husband and wife want to get to know each other better. So is that permissible to postpone? So the Chazon Ish has an essay in his Sefer on the Goyim on this topic. Postponing a mitzvah. Let's say a child becomes bar mitzvah today, and there's a mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek. So do we tell the child he has to learn Parshas HaMolek today? No, he'll wait till Shabbos, Parshas Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim. Why don't we say he has to fulfill the mitzvah today? How often do you have to learn Parshas Zohar? So the Sefer HaChinuch writes he's not sure. The Gemara seems to imply that Zohar Shazal HaMolek, listening to Parshas Zohar is a mitzvah menater. Is it once in a lifetime? Is it once every several years? Is it once every year? Because the Shir Shikha is Yud Beis Chodesh, the Gemara says. And maybe it's taken once every year. Sefer HaChinuch raises the possibility. Maybe what we know is a Takanas Chachamim, that the Shabbos before Purim, we learn Parsha Zohar, maybe that's really a Dim Menater. The fact that it's a Shabbos before Purim, that's not Menater. Maybe once a year, every year, maybe that is Menater, because that's the Shir Shikha. So the question is, why don't we require of the all of Bar Mitzvah boys who become Bar Mitzvah before Shabbos Parsha Zohar, let's say the kid became Bar Mitzvah a week after Purim. So he missed Parsha Zohar. He heard it when he was a cotton. And when if you fulfill the mitzvah when you were a cotton, you have to repeat the mitzvah again. You have to do the mitzvah again after you become a gadol. You can't be Yoytze Begadluso with the mitzvah that you fulfilled the katnuso. So why don't we insist that he should put together a minyan like Parsha Zohar? Somehow we're not worried about that. How come we're not worried? Chashin Hashem Yomus? He's going to wait till next year. That's the first tshuva in the Maram Shik. Echelik Eben Ezra, he discusses a boy has an opportunity to marry a girl and he'll be happily married, but he feels that if he'll learn another couple of years in the Beis Medrash, then he'll even get a better shidduch. Is it permissible to postpone getting married? Everything will be good today. If he gets married today, it'll be a nice shidduch. But he holds that if he'll learn a couple of years, he'll even get a more bekavadig shidduch if he waits a while. So is that permissible to postpone getting married? So he raises the issue of chashin Hashem Yomus. That's a midirabbonah, chashin Hashem Yomus lizman meruba. That's a discussion in connection with the opening Mishnah Maseches Yuma, that the Kohen Gadol has to be married on Yom Kippur. And the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim. Are we concerned that maybe his wife will die and we should have a backup wife? In case his first wife should die, he should get married on Yom Kippur to another woman. Getting married on Shabbos Yom Tov is awesome at the Rabbanon. So maybe since it's only awesome at the Rabbanon, it's Mutam and Atara, and it's necessary that he should be married on Yom Kippur. He has to say the vidui for himself and for his wife. So maybe we would be mati him to get married to the second wife on Yom Kippur in the event that the first wife will die. Or maybe she get married before Yom Kippur to the second wife, but then he's not allowed to have two wives. So maybe she give the second wife a get ala tanai. In case it'll turn out that his first wife will survive the whole Yom Kippur, so then he married the second wife and he gave her ready again. And in case the first wife will not survive Yom Kippur, so then he'll be married to the second wife. So the Bavli has, the Yerushalmi talks about getting married on Yom Kippur to the backup wife. And the Bavli talks about getting married before Yom Kippur and giving the wife a get ala tanai, in case the first wife will die. So this is a machlekes hatanaim in the Mishnah, are you concerned? That's from Erev Yom Kippur to Yom Kippur. That's chashinun, that's a machlekes by the chashinun lemisa, lezman mut. The wife doesn't seem to be sick. She doesn't seem to be sick at all. So what is there to be concerned about? But chashin lemisel is mamruba, that yes, you have to be concerned to postpone for a long time is chashin lemisel. So the mamshik thinks that he has a right. The shloshim yom is considered mamruba, and to postpone getting, if he has an opportunity to get married now, and he postpones for 30 days, then he's postponing the fulfillment of the mitzvah, piri rivya, l'zman merube, and that's not right, midirabbana, hashina l'misa.
Does Maharam Shik deal with the agadah of being sota, that should imply it's not possible to that you should live without work, so if he doesn't want to work, how's it possible? Where it says, so you put him, Arbani, you put him to your blood, so this should upset. So if he thinks this should is going to work, how can he think that he has mentioned up there? If this is the one that's going to work, then this is the one that's going to work.
The Gemara says there the difference between the Zivig Rishon and the Zivig Sheni. The Zivig Rishon is Ben HaShemayim, the Baskel announces, and the Zivig Sheni is not Ben HaShemayim. So the Rambam seems to have understood Zivig Rishon means if the couple gets married at a very young age, the boy is only 13 and the girl is only 12. But by us, everybody is Zivig Sheni. We get married. The Meiri explains that that's how the Rambam apparently understood the Gemara. The Zivig Rishon means if they get married very young, so they don't even know what's going on. But by us, everything is Zivig Sheni. Everybody gets married. The girl is already 19 and the boy is already 23. So by us, everything is Zivig Sheni. So you don't have to worry about what's going to be Min HaShemayim. So the Chazon Ish raises a different issue. The Chazon Ish talks about postponing fulfillment of a mitzvah. What's it doing in the goyim? Because there's a Mishnah Negoim, which appears also in the first parak in Moed Katan. Moed Katan has all the dinim of Chol HaMoed. Maseches Beitzah is called Maseches Yontav, has all the dinim of Yontav. Maseches Moed Katan has all the halachas of Chol HaMoed. So there's a Mishnah that discusses, both in the Goyim as well as in the first parak in Moed Katan, discusses if a person has a Negat Zaraz, says, Uvo ala Koin, he's supposed to come to the Koin to ask, is it Tommy, is it Tor? So it says, if the chosen just got married and he has a mitzvah of simcha, v'simachas ishtoi, we allow him to postpone going to the kohen to paskan on the negat zaras till the shivus mishtah are over. And if a person realizes on yantam and chol hamoed that he may or may not have a negat zaras that has to be presented to the kohen, so we learn out from the pasuk that he's allowed to postpone. The pasuk says v'yom hayro so yesh yamim shataroy negoyim yesh yamim shataroy negoyim. So if it's a day on which there's a chi of simcha, either a simcha for all of Klal Yisrael, like Chol HaMoed and Yontav, or a simcha for this particular person by the chosen, so you have a right to postpone. And if it's not Yontav, and it's not Shivus Yemei HaMishnah, then you're not allowed to postpone. What's the big avlo? So he'll go to the kohen next week. So it would appear from the Mishnah that whenever you're obligated to perform a mitzvah, you're not allowed to postpone a week. You have to do the mitzvah right away. It's not Chashin Hashem Yomus. Chashin Hashem Yomus, that's Midirabbanon. There's Mam Ruby here to wait 7 days. It's not Midirabbanon. A big, but we do it all the time. Let's say Parsha Zohar. We don't insist the kid should hear Parsha Zohar right away. So the Chazon Ish raises the possibility. Maybe we should distinguish between various mitzvahs. If it's a more serious mitzvah, then it's self-understood, you have to postpone, you have to fulfill the mitzvah the earliest possible opportunity. And if it's from a less serious category of mitzvahs, then you have time, then you can postpone fulfilling the mitzvah till later. So maybe he suggests, maybe Rias Negoim is considered a more serious mitzvah, and that's why the din requires that you have to go right away, except for the fact that it's a yontif or simchas chosim. So that's the question. What about the mitzvah piru rivya? So the Tosfos shows in different places, Tosfos in the beginning of Shabbos, in the middle of Gittin, and Baba Basra, Tosfos says in different places that the Mishnayos, instead of quoting, when the Mishnayos talk about the importance of getting married and having children, instead of quoting the Pasuk Pru Revu, Mishnayos quote the Pasuk in Navi, Lato Baro, Loshev Yitzor. The whole purpose of the creation of the world was that people should get married and raise a family. So Tosfos says the significance of that Pasuk is to indicate that the mitzvah Pru Revu, that Pasuk in Navi, where's that in Yeshaya? Somewhere knowing. So that pasuk indicates that piri b'rivya is considered a mitzvah rabba. There is such a concept. The Mishnah says that v'zorbi mitzvah kala kavachamura she'enat yadeh matan schorim shal mitzvahs. It does mean there's no such thing as a mitzvah kala and a mitzvah chamura. There are some mitzvahs are more chamura than others. But just because a mitzvah is not that chomer doesn't mean that we should be negligent. We should be medaktik in all the mitzvahs, because you never know. Yata yadea, bat nuschon shal mitzvahs. But there is such a thing as a mitzvah rabba and a less significant mitzvah. So that's what the Chazon Ish suggests. And maybe when it comes to, he's talking about Rias Nagoyim. So he suggests maybe when it comes to more important mitzvahs, maybe there the halacha requires that you have to, built into the mitzvah, you have to fulfill the mitzvah at the earliest available opportunity. And if you postpone, even if ultimately you will fulfill the mitzvah before you die, that'll constitute a bitla mitzvah. See, that's a shaila. The pasuk says that one who doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of milan himself is onush kores. If the father doesn't take care of milas habein, the father is not punished with kores. But when the child grows up and becomes bar mitzvah, then the chayv is mutelus on the child, he's mechayv to arrange for his own bris milah. So if a person didn't take care of his own bris milah, then he's punished with kores. So there's a machlekes, the Ramam and the Raibin in Hilchas Milah, and it's a machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos also on the third perek in Makkos. What do you mean he's onish kores? He can always perform the bris milah tomorrow. So when is he chayv kores? So half of the Rishonim say, if he dies and he never took care of the bris milah, then he's onish kores. But he's dead already, so what do you mean onish kores? So obviously kores is some kind of a punishment in heaven, in the Olam HaNeshamas. That's how it says in Chassidus Svarim, that there are Lamed Vav Krisis Hamuras Batorah, the opening Mishnah and Krisis, the 36 Averis for which there's a punishment of kores, and as if there are 36 knots that tie the Jewish soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and every time a person violates another Isa kores, so as if another knot is untied. So there's a punishment in Olam HaNeshamas also. He won't be able to be nana mizei v'ashchina. The more averus of kores he violates, so the more he'll be punished. Kores b'olam hazeh, the Gemara says, means that he's going to die before the age of 50. Misa b'dei shemayim, according to the Bavli, the last Gemara might cut, Misa b'dei shemayim is less chomer than kores. Misa b'dei shemayim means he died at the age of 16. Kores means a person dies at the age of 50. We mentioned Avnei Miluim in the beginning of Eben Ezra quotes the Yerushalmi that holds Faket. The Misa B'dei Shemayim is Mochamer than Kores. But the Bavli holds that Kores is Mochamer. Kores, the person dies at the age of 50. Misa B'dei Shemayim at the age of 60. So that's a big machlekes harishainim. What do you mean that one who doesn't fulfill Milo is Onish Kores? The Zamishanim say no. During his lifetime, he's Onish Kores. The fact that he postponed a day to 2 days, he waits till he's 35 years old to do the Bris Milo. He should have done it the day he was Bar Mitzvah. Postponing is already a bitla mitzvah, even if ultimately he will fulfill a mitzvah, is considered as if true he was mekayim the mitzvah at the age of 35. But is mevatla mitzvah for a day or two or a year or two, that's also called bitla mitzvah. So that's a question. Maybe one can say over here that piri v'riv is a mitzvah rabba. Maybe postponing is not only chashin Hashem ayamas lizman merubah. Maybe it's a more serious issue than chashin Hashem ayamas lizman merubah is a chashash mederabbanon. Maybe over here it's more serious. Maybe even if the person would ultimately have a big family, maybe the fact that he postponed fulfillment of the mitzvah rabba, that itself, postponing itself, constitutes a bitla mitzvah. So that's why it's always recommended never to postpone once you already picked the right girl. If you didn't pick the right girl, so we don't recommend that he should pick himself a pilegish and start having children. We wouldn't recommend it. The Rosh writes in the beginning of Ksuvus, in the first parak, that you can really fulfill Piri Rebbe with a Pilegesh and you don't have to get married. Okay, but we don't recommend it. We only recommend to get married if you plan to stick with this wife for many years to come. Yeah.
But this contradicts the getting married at 18 or later. I mean, because
age of 18, if it's reasonable.
Yeah. This is
so that's what we rely on. That Gemara in the end of the first parak in Kedushin, where the Gemara says Lil Matar v'Leisa Isha, so Lil Matar takes precedence because Rechaim Mitzavah v'Yasek Batar. It'll interfere with the Beis Shmuel in the first page in Eben Ezra. Aleph Amud Aleph explains that's why Bizman Tanoim they didn't say 13. Why don't they say you should get married the next day? So they say no, 18. And Bizman Azeh we're a little retarded. And we're at the age of 18, we're just going to Eretz Yisrael to learn for a year. We didn't even begin to learn. So you have to learn a couple of years. You have to come back. You have to finish college. You have to learn for smicha. You have to learn in the kollel a couple, and then, huh?
Get a job.
Okay.
Get
It has to be within reason, right? It has to be reasonable. To tell a boy to get married at a younger age is by us, is unreasonable.
So is it that you're not a bar chiyuv until the right age or you found the right girl, and then once you're bar chiyuv, then we apply the issues of mitzvah mitzvah and or kashin and lamisa?
Correct. He's not obligated to get married if it's unreasonable. There is a rashash later in Ksubis, I think on Daf Nun, where the Rashash talks about the kasha that the Rishonim is. How come in Pirkei Avos it says, when Shmona Esrei Lechupa, and the Gemara in the first Perek in Kedushin says, if a boy reaches the age of 20 is not married, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very upset. How come it says the age of 20, if the Mishnah says the age of 18? So Tosfos said, the age of 18, you have to start looking for a shidduch, but you have until 20. You should shake a leg. You shouldn't waste so much time to wait till after 20. That's what Tosfos says. And the Rashash gives a different suggestion. He quotes, there's a machlokes hatanoim in the second perek, in the first perek in Chulin. In the first perek in Chulin, Dav Chavdalim, I think, there's a machlokes hatanoim, there's a stira, there's an apparent contradiction between two psukim. It says in the Chumash that the Levim come to do avodah beis hamikdash in the Mishkan. One pasuk says the age of 25, one pasuk says the age of 30. So the Gemara asks, isn't that a contradiction? The Gemara says, no, they come at 25, and it takes 5 years till they learn. The Levim were divided into two groups. Some of them were Mishorim. They used to play music, so it takes 5 years to learn how to play music. And some of them were Shorim. They used to lock the gates at there somehow, whatever. It takes 5 years to learn the Malacha of the Levim. Then there's a pasuk in Daniel when it says that the Jews who were in Golas Bavel were involved in politics in the palace of the king of Melech Bovel, and they picked up the apprenticeship, the graduate program took 3 years. So how come over here, the Gemara says, how come over there it took 3 years and over here it takes 5 years to study how to be Levim? So the Gemara says, obviously to learn politic is easier, that's only 3 years, and to learn how to be a good Levi to function takes 5 years. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule. Is the rule that all graduate programs should really take 3 years? And the Levim was something special because of the music, I guess. Or should you say, no, basically everything takes 5 years and politics is easy. So that you can knock off in 3 years. What's an afkamina? Learning. Let's say a person goes to learn in a program, a learning program. And the first 2-3 years, he's still not roi asim ibrocha b'talmudoi. So should you say, in 3 years he should have already picked up what's going on, and if he's learning 3 years and he's not too successful, he should give it up, go to a different field? Or do you say, no, maybe learning will take 5 years? So that's a machlokes hatanaim, whether learning basically takes 5 years to pick up a derech, or learning basically takes 3 years. So that's what the Rashash suggests on Daf Nun in Ksubis. He says, the Mishnah says the program in Pirkei Avos Ben Chamesh LeMikra, from the age of 5 to 10, the children are supposed to be learning all of Tanakh. Then Ben Esser the Mishnah, between the age of 10 and 15, supposed to be learning Mishnayos. The mind of the child is attuned to picking up Dinim. Mishnayos just give the Dinim, and every so often they give you a Pasuk, but just gives you the Dinim. And then Ben Chamesh Esrei the Gemara, Ben Chamesh Esrei the Talmud, to try to understand where everything comes from and how the things are interrelated and so on. So how long does that take to pick up a derech and learning Torah Shabbat Bet, to pick up a derech and learning Gemara? So that would be a machlokes hatanaim from Chulin Daf Chavdala, whether that takes 3 years or 5 years. So if it takes 3 years, then the Mishnah continues to say, when Shmoneh Esrei Lechupah, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos assumes it takes 3 years. The Gemara in Kiddushin that says that if the person is 20 and he didn't get married, then the Baruch Shalom is angry. That's a machlokes. That goes with the other Tana, that it takes 5 years to pick up the Derech Halima. So this is all, according to that Rashash, this is all by Midvar Ma'amurim. If the child started to learn Gemara at the age of 15, a lot of us don't really begin to learn Gemara till the age of 20. The Rebbe is teaching a little bit Hari, but the child didn't really begin to pick up and learning till an older age. So then you have 5 years after you start. Yeah, that's what the whole din is based on. A person has to, the getting married and having children has to fit in with the rest of his program on life. So that's the show. Let's say a couple fell in love and they got married, but if he's going to have children, then he's going to have to go get a job. If he doesn't have any children, his wife has a job. If he'll practice birth control, the wife will have a job. She'll be able to make enough parnasa for both of them to live on. in order for him to learn. So, Lil Matur, the Gemara says, you're allowed to postpone. Lil Matur v'Lisa Isha, we say, let him learn Torah and postpone getting married. So today that we have methods of birth control, if there's no Isser, if there's no Avera involved in the birth control, just a question of Bitla Mitzvah, so Lil Matur, we permit one to postpone. We would permit one to postpone. So that's a question, what forms of birth control are merely a bitla mitzvah piriviravya. So if a person wants to learn, we would permit him to postpone having the children. And what forms of birth control constitute an iser of hashchas hazera?
There wouldn't be a difference if someone's actually married, according to the Chazon Ish. So then, if the person's not married, so maybe the Chazon Ish would say he's not being mevatel the mitzvah. If he's actually married, so that wouldn't be considered being mevatel the mitzvah of having a piriviravya.
But then even when you have the chiyuv, but if the person wants to postpone having the children till later...
I'm
not familiar. Not familiar. I would have thought that it's exactly the same. I would have thought postponing getting married and getting married, postponing having children is the same issue. I don't know. Could be. Not familiar with that. So what's going on here? This Tashmish B'moch, is there an Issam Reval? Or is it just an issue of Bitla Midl? So Rashi writes on the Gemara, Shodosh Noshim Misham Shetz B'moch, we permit it in these three cases because there's a suffix sakana according to Rab Meir. The Chachamim disagree and they say Shamir Psayim Hashem. We wouldn't permit it. It's also because it is Hashchas Hazera. So Rashi holds that Tashmish B'moch involves some kind of an Issa. Rabbi Natam does not agree with Rashi. Rabbi Natam says no, the Shalosh Noshim are Mechuyev to be Mishamish B'moch because there's a suffix sakana. The Chachamim disagree. Shamir Psayim Hashem, but Rav Meir holds that they mechuyev to me mishamish b'moch, and Shah Noshim are not mechuyev to me mishamish b'moch, but if they choose to, there won't be any violation. There is no mashchis hazera. Why not? So Rabbi Natam says, what are you going to say? Every time a person has tashmish in a fashion that it's impossible to have children, that's a violation of mashchis hazera. Let's say the wife is pregnant, or the wife is a ketana. The Gemara says a ketana in the days of the Tanoim. In the days of the Tanakh, fathers would marry off their daughters when they were ketanas. The Gemara says that it's not a smart thing to do, to marry off the daughter when she's so young. She may not be happily married later on. The Gemara says she should always wait till the girl grows up, till she's old, and she says, I'd be happy to marry this guy. She shouldn't marry the good daughter off against her wishes. So when she does not want, you put blindfolds on her, and you have her marry this guy. The Gemara says it's not a smart thing to do. But the Balei Yisrael say there in that Gemara, the beginning of the second Perek in Kedushin, they used to do that because they would never know what's going to be next year. The daughter's 10 years old. The Crusaders may come next year and they'll kill the parents. So what's going to be with the daughter? So they said, better, now I have money. Next year they may steal all the money from me. I may not have any money. So now I have the ability to marry my daughter up, so I better try to do whatever I can. So that's how Tosis defends their practice. They went back to the practice that seems to be from the days of Tanakh, that fathers would marry off their daughters when they would be very young. But under normal circumstances, we wouldn't recommend that. So Nachamal, so the Rabbi Natam says, a man is permitted to have tashmish with his wife, even if she's an akara, even if she's a ketana, even if she's muberes. And let's say the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Meir. And they say there's no chashash sakonis nefosh over here, so far-fetched, and no one's nervous about it, so shamir psayim Hashem. But he knows in advance she's not going to become pregnant now again. Ruba, the woman who is pregnant already, doesn't become pregnant the second time. It's a question whether it's even physically possible, medically possible, for a woman who's pregnant. The Gemara assumes that a woman who's pregnant may have another pregnancy on top of the first one. That's a big problem. In the medical books, they say it's probably impossible, not just highly unlikely, it's probably physically impossible. So the Gemara somehow wasn't aware of that. The Tanoim and the Gemara thought that it is physically possible. It is medically possible.
You have a shot book. We have one or two reported cases in the history of it happening.
Uh-huh, okay.
One pregnancy inside the uterus and another inside one of the fallopian tubes.
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm.
So once or twice in history.
Yeah, if it's echad, a suffik echad meine elef alfi alofim, so that's such a far-fetched chashash. There are many different kinds of roiv. There's a roiv of 99.99%, then there's a roiv of 50.001%, then there are many roivs in between that. Al pidin, there are different categories of roiv. There's a mir tamotze and a mir chena motze, many different madregas. So we have a klal that lahelcha bebikoch nefosha sachar haroiv. But if it's such a roiv that it's a miyuta against it, such a ridiculous miyut, then even give din in the fascists, even give the death penalty based on such a roiv. So it's only, in all the medical records, they only have two or three cases. So how can it be there are mayors concerned about that? That's the pella. How can it be? The din certainly should be like the chachamim in such a case. Hashem epsayim Hashem. It is such a far-fetched chashash. So getting back again, so the Rashi claims that the Shadash Nashim are permitted to be Mishamish B'malch, other women are not permitted to. They're permitted to, according to Rameh, because there's a suffix. Sakana. Chachamim disagree. It's not a suffix, Sakana. People aren't nervous about this. That's far-fetched chashash. So if you're not nervous, it's not a suffix, Sakana. And Rameh says that even though people are not nervous, it is a suffix, Sakana. And therefore, we permit you to do this Tashmish B'malch, even though it's a violation of Hashchas Hazera. And if she's not one of the three women, that you're not allowed to be Mishamish Moach. There is an Isa Shchas Azer. Rabbi Natam disagrees with Rashi, and he says, what do you mean? Just because she can't become pregnant? Aguf nenem and aguf. That's what the Rishonim say aloshin. Since they're having Tashmish together, if that is the case, aguf nenem and aguf, to have anor from Tashmish, so even though she's any Yechol Elihisaber, there shouldn't be an Isa of Hashchas Azer. So the Yamshel Shlaima and Yevamis, thinks that the two machlokes and atoli zebeze, that Rashi understood that you're talking about a moch b'shas tashmish. So if the moch is there b'shas tashmish, so then he's moitzi zera like one is moitzi zera alo etzim alo avonim. So that'll be a violation of hashchas zera. So we were only permitted in these three cases where there's a chashash sakana. But the Rabbi Natan is talking about shimish b'moch after the tashmish. After the Tashmish, what's wrong? At the time he had the Tashmish, it was Tashmish Kedarka, Aguf, Nenim, and Aguf. And then later on, if you want to prevent having pregnancy, so that's not an Issa, unless he's going to postpone for a long time. Then you'll have the Shaila, maybe postponing constitutes a Bitla Mitzvah, and maybe Hashina Lemisa, there's Mamaruba, and so on. So that's what the Shaila is, even according to Rashi, in the days of the Gemara, the moch that they had would really interfere with Tashmish Kedarka. They would put a shmata in. So if it interferes with Tashmish Kedarka, so then Rashi holds that that's an Isa Hashchas Azer. What if you have an improved moch, that's like they have today, you have an improved moch, so maybe then there is no violation of Hashchas Azer. So that's a question. That's a question. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He writes about what Rav Chaim Moisel said. Rav Chaim Moisel, someone mentioned to Rav Moshe that Rav Chaim Moisel said that if the man uses a condom at the time of Tashmish, since it doesn't interfere with the Tashmish Kedarka, Aguf, Nenim, and Aguf, so that's not a violation, even though it's Debashah's Tashmish, that's not a violation of Hashchas Azer. And Moshe thought that it wasn't correct. Moshe thought that certainly is an Iser of Hashchas Azer. The Zerah has to at least enter into the Guf Aisha. But if you have a moch deeper into the Gufa Isha B'Shas Tashmish, and that doesn't interfere with Tashmish Kedarka, so then could well be that that should be mutter. Rabbi Kevega has a famous tshuva on the topic, and he says that since so much was written in the earlier Achronim, and the later Shonim, and the earlier Achronim about this issue, so even though there should have been room to be Mekel, we shouldn't really be Mekel, because there were so many who were choshish for the Rashi Shita, Choshesh, so it's not right to give kulas unless it's mamish a chashash sakon. But less than a chashash sakon, one should avoid being mekel on the topic. If a woman takes a pill, what, just to regulate her cycle?
Yeah, it keeps her, she can't get pregnant now. Because she's always in the part of the cycle where she won't get pregnant.
that's the shaila bit l'pira v'rebi. Yeah.
But other than that, have you no
shayla
v'shchata
zera
v'etzah
shini? No, how could that be ashchasa zera?
That's not ashchasa
zera. She already has children, so then there's no bitla mitzvah. Okay, then there is a, the Gemara says in Yevamos, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva, who had Talmidim when he was younger, and all the Talmidim died, and then he had Talmidim later, and those five Tanaim were the ones who transmitted the Torah Shem Alpeh to the whole world. All those Talmidim were the ones who taught us all the Mishnayos. So Rabbi Akiva says, based on the Pasuk in Koheles, the one who had Talmidim when he was younger shouldn't retire. He should continue, if he's able to function, he should continue to teach Torah to the younger Talmidim in his old age, because as the Pasuk continues, Kein chayade eze yikosher, as though is that you don't know which Talmidim will be the ones who will be successful to transmit Torah to the next generation. The same regarding children. Even if you have children, Hayu Labanim Bialduso, Yu Labanim Bizignusa, one should have more children when he's older, because you can never tell which children will be the good children, which ones will be Sharmi Mitzvahs, which ones will be able to have children themselves. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's assumed that this is not a Chiyav Min HaTorah, it's not even a Chiyav Min HaRabbanan. This is considered Amidas Chasidus. That even though one already has fulfilled the mitzvah of Pirei V'Rivya, there's a machlokes hatanaim, how many children do you have to fulfill Pirei V'Rivya? Many different opinions in Yevamos, the end of Perek Habo Yevimto, so the accepted opinions like Bezilel, you have to have a son and a daughter. Some say the Bezilel also agree, if you have two sons, you're Yotze. The Yerushalmi says like that, but the Bavli doesn't seem to hold like that. Bavli is assumed to be a machlokes the Bavli Yerushalmi. We assume that according to Basil, you have to have a son and a daughter. So once you already have a son and a daughter, and then if you want to postpone having more children, so the Birki Yosef says in Eben Ezra Siman Aleph, that for sure is mutter. To postpone fulfilling La'erev Atanach Yadecha, that for sure is mutter. But let's say he doesn't want to have any more children. The wife doesn't want, she doesn't feel well, the husband doesn't want, whatever. So that's considered Amidas Chasidus. That's what the Beis Shmuel and Eben Ezra, and that Siman Aleph, quotes from the Mohammeds like that, Mohammeds and Yevamos, that L'erev HaTanach Yadecha constitutes Amidas Chasidus. In our generation, after the Nazis killed so many millions of Jews, and they would have had so many children and so on, so all the G'daylim said after the Holocaust that it's recommended everyone should go for the Amidas Chasidus, to try to make up all of those children, all those people who were killed, and all the generations who would have been born. So again, in recent years, this Gemara of Sholosh Nashim Shamshes B'moch was always quoted in connection with birth control. And the Gemara, they're not talking about birth control. The Gemara, they're talking about the suffix sakonis nefashis. Reb Meir holds, even if you're not nervous about the suffix sakana, and it's a far-fetched suffix sakana, you still have to be concerned about it. You have to do something to prevent yourself from losing your life. And the Chachamim say, if it's far-fetched and you're not nervous, then al pi din is not considered suffix sakana. That's how we pass them. That's how we pass them. Okay. Then we started the next Gemara. Let's see. What else did we learn here? Oh, yes. This Gemara we mentioned. The Gemara says on Lamites Amin Aleph, Ein beinarius lebagris al shisha chadoshim bilvad. When does a girl become a naira? A girl becomes a gedola, is a naira. When does she become a naira? You have to have shonim v'simonim. If the shtei sarvis grew before the age of 12, we call it shuma. Shuma means a growth of hair, like some people have a growth of hair where it doesn't belong. So the sarvis that grew on the eva ha'erva before the age of 13 by a boy, before the age of 12 by a girl, that doesn't count. That's not shuma b'yama. That's not an indication of gadlus. But if you have shonim, and then you have the simonim, the shtei saris grow after the shonim, so that constitutes godless, then she becomes a naira. So let's say she only brings the shtei saris at the age of 18. So you say for the first 6 months she's a naira, or do you say no, you can't be a naira? Eim anaris l'baris of the shisha radashim alvad means whenever she becomes a naira, she'll be a naira for the next 6 months, then she'll become a bageris at the age of 18 and a half. Or you say no, you can't become a naira after 12 and a half. She may still be a ktana till the age of 18. When she has shtei saris after 18, then she becomes a bageris right away. So in the Mishlam Melech and Perek Aleph in Hilchas Ishus, when the Ram quotes all the dinim of gadlus, when a girl becomes a gedola, when a boy becomes a mitzvah, So the Mishnah Mel points out that this is a machlekes the Rambam and Tosfos. How do you understand? The Rambam says you always have 6 months. Whenever she becomes a naira, the next 6 months she'll be a naira till she becomes a bageris. And then Mishnah Mel quotes a Tosfos in Nida, I think, that she can't be a naira after the age of 12 and a half. Machlekes, how do you read that line in the Gemara? Okay. Then yesterday we discussed Sa'ar, the machlekes Reb Shimon. Shimon bar Yochai, the last line, Alam Tesman, Reb Shimon holds that one is ma'anis, a woman doesn't have to pay tzar, because so far the hitzar tachas bailo. And we don't pass like him. We pass him that he does have to pay tzar. The Mishnah says that there's a ha'oinah shoyse ba'tzitza by the mefata, he doesn't have a din v'loy se'ilish. He doesn't have a chiyuv to marry her, but by the oinus it says, "V'loy se'ilish is mechuyev to marry her." Lo yuchal l'shalchal kol yamav. He's not permitted to divorce her. Usually we have a machlokes hatanoim that's recurrent every 15 dafim in the Masechta, with the ksuba deraisa, ksuba lav deraisa. So the Balei HaTosfos seem to be of the opinion here that first line in the Tosfos, Lamites Amid Beis Dibra Maschal, Taim Amay Tekina LeRabbanu Ksuba, Shulei Tekala Be'enu V'tzia. So Tosfos says, the Gemara says that Ksuba is only Med Rabbanan, but don't we pass in Ksuba is Deraisa? Who says Ksuba is Deraisa? So Tosfos on Daf Yud Amid Aleph says, that's what it says in the text of our Ksubas. The Gemara says over there also, Ksuba is a takana de rabbanan. So he says, what do you mean? But we pass Ksuba de raisa, because in Ashkenazi, Ksubas, that's the way it reads. You write, the chosen is obligated in the event of Misa Sabal, or Gerishin, the chosen will be obligated to pay Masayim Zuz. Masayim Zuz is 50 shkolim. As it says in Chumash Kesav Yishkol, Kemohar Habesulas, Oynes and Mefata have to pay 50 shkolim. 50 shkolim is identical with 200 zuz, and Moir Hapsulis means the ksuba. So there's a machlokes hatanoim when the pasuk is referring to Moir Hapsulis. Pasuk is saying that there is a chiyuv deraisa whenever a boy divorces his wife, he married a girl when she is a psula. So there's a chiyuv deraisa that he has to pay ksuba deraisa. Or should I say no? That was the practice bisman matan Torah, and the halacha says that the oynes and Mefata ruined the girl's chance of getting a ksuba of chamishim shekel kesef. So therefore the Torah imposed a chiyuv that he has to pay chamishim shekel kesef. But the Torah never said that a regular chassan who gets married and he divorces his wife or he dies, that she's entitled to collect the ksuba. So that was a machlokes hatanoim, whether ksuba derais or ksuba lav derais. So since in the all Ashkenazi ksuba is the text that they use is Masayim Zuz, the Chozi Lichim Midi Araisa, which you are entitled to Min HaTorah. So that's what led the Bala Tosfos, the top Tosfos on Yudam and Aleph, and the top line in the Tosfos on Lamitesam and Beis, Taimayat Kir Rabbanon, that's what led them to declare that we Paskin Ksuba is the Araisa. So what does the Gemara say, we Paskin Ksuba love the Araisa? So Tosfos says, because here the girl is an Anusa Mefuto, so she's not a Psula. Even if you're Ksuba the Araisa, it's only Ksuba's Psula is the Araisa. Hamishim Shekel Kesef, that's Masayim Zuz. But if the girl is a Ba'ula, then everybody agrees that the Ksuba is Lav Deraisa. Yeah, is there any? We don't pass like that, Tosfos. We pass Ksuba Lav Deraisa. And even though we made a Kabbalah's Kinyan and we wrote it down, let's say I don't owe you a penny, and you give me a handkerchief, and I say by my accepting the handkerchief, I accept upon myself an obligation to give you $1,000. So Kinyan Suter works Menatar. Kinyan Suter is recorded in Sefer Rus. You can create his chayvus by making a kinyan suder, or you can create his chayvus by writing a shtar. He do both. The chosen, somebody gives a handkerchief. Really, the kala should give her handkerchief to the chosen. The kala is in the other room. The chosen is in this room. So the rabbi gives a handkerchief to the chosen as representing the kala, based on the principle of zochen liadam shalai befund. The girl stands to gain money over here. The chosen is going to be mishabed himself to give her ksuba and tosefes ksuba. So that's zochen liadam shalai befanav. Either din is that for kinyan suda there's a machlokes rabbi levi, or the bekelef shal kaina, bekelef shal makna, that machlokes is in bab metziat perak hazohav, when the gemara has a little bit of a discussion of kinyan suda. So we pass him bekelef shal kaina. So the kaina here is the kala. So the kala doesn't give her handkerchief. Fine, the rabbi does zochen liadam shalai befanav, but it's not kelef shal kaina. So how does it work? So Tosfos in Kiddushin writes in the first paragraph of Chavav, Tosfos says, that's okay. Just like Kinyan Kesef. What is Kinyan? How does Kinyan Kesef work? I pay you money and I'm kind of the karka. Karka is nicknamed the Kesef Bishtara Bechazok. I pay you money and I'm kind of the karka. What if someone else pays you the money? I don't have any money to pay. Someone else comes and he gives you $1 million in order that I should be kind of the karka. So that's considered a valid form of Kinyan Kesef based on Midin Evet Kanaini. What's Evet Kanaini? And Evet Kanaini, based on Psukim, Evet Kanaini is Yotze Lecheves either Ayide Shtar, the Yodin gives him a Shtar Shichu, or Ayide Kesef. Because the Pasuk says, Havdei lo niftasa, achub shalo nitan lo, by the Shivcha Harufa. The girl was neither free, the Shivcha Harufa is a Chetze Shivcha v'chetze Baschan. Havdei lo niftasa, she was not niftis Ayide Kesef, achub shalo nitan lo, lo lo meisha goes on again. She wasn't freed with the Shtar Shichu, nor was she freed Ayide Kesef. So we establish based on that Pasuk that in Evet Kanaini happens to be spoken there. Talking there about a Shivcha Knainis, but the same thing by Nebuch Knaini, can be Yotze Lecheres one of two ways. Either Yotze Lecheres Ayide Kesef, or Yotze Lecheres Ayide Shtar. So there's a Machlokes HaTanaim, how can Nebuch Knaini Shivcha Knainis be Yotze Lecheres Ayide Kesef? Mashukon Ebekon Rabba, the Ebekon Knaini doesn't have a penny to his name. How can he give, it's impossible in Mitzvahs. How can he give money to the Yodan to be Yotze Lecheres? So one Tana says, Kesef Ayide Echerim. Someone else gives money to the Yodan that the Ebed should be Yotze Lecheres. How is that a valid form of kesef? Kesef is the kind that gives the kesef. The Gemara says that's what you learned from Parshas Evet Kanaini. That's called kinya kesef mikayach Evet Kanaini. Let's say under the chuppah, the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Kedushin, under the chuppah, the chassan says harei mekudesh sleep betabazu. Because that's Moshe Bissal. He doesn't give a ring. He doesn't have any money. Let's say his mother bought a ring. The chassan's mother bought a ring, and the chassan says harei mekudesh sleep betabazu, and the mother gives the ring. So the Gemara says that it's good, even though the ring does not belong to the chassan. If the chassan borrows the ring from his grandmother and he gives it, that's very questionable. The Pashta says that it should not be good. The Rosh stands on his head to try to defend why there was such a practice. Pashta says that's not good because the ring doesn't belong to the girl now. But if the chassan's mother or the chassan's father bought the ring and they're going to give her the ring as a to keep, and then the chassan says, "Arei mekudesh is libet habazu that my mother is giving you." That's mekudesh is medin Evet Kanaini. So Tosfos says this din medin Evet Kanaini is not restricted only to kinyan kesef; it works by kinyan suder as well. The kala should really give a handkerchief to the chassan to create the shibud on the Tosfos ksuba, but the kala is in the other room. So the rabbi gives his handkerchief to the chassan, zachen liadam shlei befana, but it has to be kalev shalkaina. So Tosfos says that the kesef is all supposed to be. When you're kind of a kesef, it's all supposed to be kesef shalakaina. That's what you learn out from Medin Evet Kanaini, that if someone else gives their kesef, and the odon can keep the kesef, or the one who's selling the karka can keep the kesef, or the kala can keep the kesef, so it's good. So the same is true regarding the kinya chalipin. If the rabbi gives his handkerchief to the kala as represent, to the chasna as representing the kala, so that's good, midin zochen the odom shlei befonim, and it's not a violation of the requirement of b'kelev shalkoinim. Midin Evet Kanaini, that's considered good for kelev shalkoinim. So the question is, these are two valid ways to create a schayvus min haTorah. If you make kinyan suder, it creates a schayvus min haTorah. Or if you write a shtar, I hereby accept upon myself an obligation to give you $100,000 and I give you the shtar. So that's a gemar kuv beis min alef. I write down in a document and I give you the piece of paper. I obligate myself, yesh meyayin. And secular law in America, it doesn't exist. You can't create a hischaivus not in exchange for anything. If I smashed into your car, if I was mazik you, then I have to. If you did something for me, I say, if you paint my house, I'll pay you $100,000. But if you didn't do anything and there's no cause, then secular law doesn't exist. But halacha does exist. You can either create a hischaivus yesh meyayin al yidei suder or al yidei shtar. So we do both. The chassan, the rabbi gives a handkerchief to the chassan and he says, I want you to obligate yourself in the ksuba and the tosefes. Ksuba shakes his head. And then they write it down, the yedim sign. Then the chassan under the chuppah gives the shtar to the kala. And we still paskin la locha that ksuba lav deraisin. We don't accept that tesis on yudam and aleph and lametesim. We paskin it's lav deraisin. How can it be lav deraisin? But he made a kinyan suder, he made a kinyan shtar. So the poskim say, the classical poskim and Ebenezer, they all say, the shtar is just to back up the fact that there is a chiyuv ksuba derabbanan. Just to serve as a shtar raya. It's not for the tosefes ksuba, it's a shtar kinyan. because he's not mechuyev to have any tosefet ksuvin. So then he adds on a fortune of money, way more than the whole ikka ksuvin. But for the ikka ksuvin, we pass on ikka ksuvin as lav derayis, even by psula. We don't accept this shita satayis. We hold that ikka ksuvin is lav derayis, and even though they made a kabbalas kin yitzud, and even though he gave her a shtar, the shtar is only to be mechazikit as a shtar raya, it's not as a shtar kinyan. It's a shtar raya that there is a chiyuv ksuba de rabbanon. So here the Gemara has, what's the reason why they instituted when it's only with the rabbanon? Well, let's say by every case of Einus HaMefata, the girl is a ba'ula already, so then the ksuba is only going to be the rabbanon. So what's the reason why they instituted a ksuba de rabbanon by ba'ula? Kadesh leita kala be'en v'loitziyah. So here the Tanoim have a machlokes on the bottom of Lamates on the base. If the girl was anusa, he was ma'anis the girl. So it says, he's not allowed to divorce her. So what do you need to be mechazik? You don't need any. We're going to give him malchus. Gemara Malchus talks about giving the guy malchus if he divorces his wife. So lava nita glasa, he can remarry her again. So there's a lav hanging over his head. So there's a machlokes hatanoim. Does it make sense to say over here that there's no chiyuv ksuba at all? So the Gemara has, the first time it says, Anusa doesn't get, in the event that he does divorce the Anusa, let's say she says, I want to get the ready, enough. They both agree, the husband and the wife both agree, the Pasuk says, that means if she wants it, but if she doesn't want it, then she says she doesn't want it, then he may divorce her. So what's the din if the anusa was divorced by the husband with her consent? Does the husband have to pay her ksuba? So the first tana says no. That's how we paska. No, there's no ksuba. The whole purpose of instituting ksuba shloite kala be'enev loitzia. And over here, I don't need a ksuba for that. I don't need a takana. You have hanging over his head v'lo seili isha. The next tana disagrees and he says no. Truth is a din v'lo seili isha. But he may aggravate his wife so much till she'll be pleading and begging that she wants to get there ready. So we want to have something hanging over his head. It's not enough to have the love, not enough to have the essay in the love, because he may cause her so much aggravation, verbal abuse and whatever, or physical abuse, he can beat her up also, till she'll agree that she wants to get. So we want to try to prevent him from divorcing her. So there should be a takon of ksuba. So that's a machleka satanoim. If the fella divorces the anusa, does she collect the ksuba or not?
Right.
Yeah.
Why is that we don't say by every marriage that it's asurit to give a get bal korcha? So it shouldn't be kalbin alotia either way. So maybe we should. Why
doesn't
that person need a ksuba?
I mean, after the Rabbeinu Gershon made the takana, you cannot divorce your wife
according
to the Tshuva Saran holds that even before Rabbeinu Gershon, there is an Issa deraisa to divorce your wife al korcha. Rabbeinu Gershon just introduced a cherem, a curse, that whoever divorces his wife al korcha should drop dead. The cherem means it should drop dead, a curse that's nichnas into the Ramach Ivarim. That's what the Gemara says. Cherem is osias Ramach. It's a curse that it should be nichnas into the Ramach Ivarim. Yeah, but not enough. But even according to the Ran, that it's an Issa Deraisa, that's not enough. You have to be mechazik it. But over here, if you have a lav, the Gemara had a machleg satanan. The lav should prevent it.
Why does the Ramah say we don't connect her head? You know that the Chem Tanah Benegeshon?
The Ramah says what?
Meikar Hadin, you don't need to write a Ksuba after Chem Tanah Benegeshon.
The Ramah says what again?
Meikar Hadin, you don't need to write a Chem Tanah Benegeshon.
You don't mean if she doesn't have the ksuba. The chiv ksuba exists. The Ramah just says, you're not, the Gemara has a din, you're not allowed to also lahasha siddish the shachas baloi ksuba, shalite kalabayin of loi tziyo. So the chiv ksuba exists, just that she doesn't have to be nervous. If she doesn't have a piece of paper, so the Gemara says she's going to be nervous, he may divorce her. But today there's a chemri rabbein geshem, so she knows that he can't divorce her. So Ramah says, abizman hazeh,
even before the
Chayyim,
why couldn't we say like
that? I don't know. It's a good question. We usually don't assume like that, Ron. You know, it's a very mistabedig Ron. Yeah. I don't know. It's a good tataina. Usually all the din of the Rabbanan were with aloy plug. Why is over here? That's not even what the second tana. Second tana disagreed for a different reason. Didn't say aloy plug. It says because he can aggravate her so much, they'll be mitzire her
if she wants one.
Till she'll want to get. Why didn't you just say it's a loy plug rabbanon? Usually everything is a loy plug. I don't know. Yeah. How can all the Rishonim disagree with the Tosfos? How can they say that Ksuba lab deraisa? What do you do with the Nusach that it says? In the Ashkenazi Ksuba says the Chazi Lichem deraisa. So the Ramon Eben Ezra quotes the Rush on that daf Yud. Chazi Lichem deraisa doesn't mean that she's entitled to the Masayim Zuz Min HaTorah. It means she's entitled Mid Rabbanon, but to Kesef Tzuri. The Gemara says in Kiddushin and the end of Chorus that there are two monetary systems running side by side in Eretz Yisrael, the Deis HaTanoim. Both systems had a penny, a nickel, and dime, and quarter, and half a dollar, and a dollar, and so on. So the Kesef Tzuri, each coin was worth eight times the value of the coins, the same coin in the Kesef Medina system. So when does the halacha say you have to, there's so many different chiyuvi mammon, when does halacha say that you have to pay with Kesef Tzuri? Whenever the Mishnah says an amount of money that you have to pay, which amount are we talking? The higher amount, that's eight times as much as the lower amount? Are you talking about the lower amount? So the Gemara says it depends. Call Kesef Ham and Batoira, Kesef Tzuri. When it says in Chumash, Chamishim Shekel Kesef Bayonis and Mefata, Machzus HaShekel for Karbonis Tzibur, and Meir Shekel Kesef and Moitzi Shemra. And Shloshim Shalevid, the Shoramod kills an Ebeknani, pay Shloshim Shalevid. So that's called Kesef Kotzuf Ham and Batoira, that's Kesef Tzuri. Mishal Dirayim, if it's only a Dinder Rabbanon, that's Kesef Medina. That's the lower. Whenever the Tanoim introduced the Dinder Rabbanon, so that you pay in the lower amount. So here, that's what the Rosh says. Even though we really paskan la'aloche, that the Ksuba lav deraisa, and even though he made a Kabbalah's Kinyan, and even though he gave her a Shtar Ksuba, it's still lav deraisa, because the whole Kabbalah's Kinyan was on the Tosefis, and the Ksuba is a Shtaraya. The document of the Ksuba merely serves as a Shtaraya, that he owes her the money, but the money is only owed mid the Rabbanon. Money, the Ika Ksuba, is not owed minatur. The Tosefis Ksuba is owed minatur. Then he made a Kabbalah's Kinyan that works minatur. The Kinyan with the Shtar. The Kinyan Sudra alone would have been good, and Shtar alone would have been good. He did both. So that works minatur, but the Ika Ksuba is only midir Rabbanon. So why do we write the Chazi Lichem midir Raisa and the Ika Ksuba? So the Rosh explains, no. Where did the Chachamim come off to introduce this whole din of Ksuba? Because it's mentioned in the Chumash. It says, Kesef Yishkol Mohar HaBesulas. The Oynes and Mefata have to pay Chaimishim Shekel Kesef. Corresponding to what the minig was. It's not a din. They're corresponding to what the practice was, Bizman Matan Torah, that the normal minig was that the chosim would give Chamishim Shekel Kesef. So the Chumash is talking, Oynes and Mefata is talking about Chamishim Shekel Kesef, Kesef Tzuri. So when the Chachamim introduced Ksuba the Rabbanon, they introduced it according to what the minig was, Bizman Matan Torah. So the minig wasn't Kesef Tzuri. The minig wasn't Kesef Medina. True, the chiyuv to pay that amount of ksuba is only midirabanan. It's a tanai bezin takana derabanan, but there are misakim midirabanan that it should be equal to the amount of the oynis mefatama. Oynis mefatama money is chamishim shekel kesef of kesef tzuri. So it comes out shel midireim kesef medina. Let's say a man married a girl who was an almana. So ksubasa mana. Mana is a takana derabanan. That's not a diminator. Only ksuba's psula. Even though we pass in ksuba lav deraisa, we don't pass in lactasis, but she gets the amount that it should have been if it would have been deraisa, because the whole takana derabbanan ksuba is based on the pasuk chamishim shekel kesef. So she gets, the psula gets chamishim shekel kesef tzuri, and the almana gets mana kesef medina. So it's not half the amount. It's half. 1/8 the amount. It's 1/16 the amount. That's what the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch. That people, when we learn Mishnayos, you get the impression as if a half the amount. The man divorces his wife, and he says he only owes her. He says, when I married you, you were an almana, so I only owe you money. And she says, no, I was a psula in the sasani. When I got married to you, I was a psula. You owe me masai. So you get the impression that he's moedim b'miktzas v'chayfim b'miktzas. She says she wants 200 in his mitzvah that he's going to give her 100. That sounds like half the amount. So you look in the Ramah quotes this Rosh Allah HaMai, says not the half the amount, 1/16 the amount. It's also mitzvah b'miktzas. Also would swear a shvur deraisa.
Okay. Can I just
quickly
ask, is it true that the because
what?
It's good that...
What do you mean al piyatzma? Hadas baldin kame edim dami.
Yeah.
So what do they make a hadas baldin on?
I guess that's what's going on where if he has
a
property, all you need is a shtar.
He's mishabed himself agav karka, and he doesn't have any karka. So then Tosfos says, Hadas baldin kame edim dami. Since he admitted that he has karka, so the shibud is chal based on his hadas baldin. Yeah, but he made a kinyan agav. He made a kinyan agav over there. But we're talking about a case he didn't make any kinyan agav. Just he makes a kinyan suter, and then he writes a shtar. So kinyan suter, kinyan shtar, without any karka. Kinyan suter, kinyan shtar should serve min haTorah to create his chayvus on the person. So really, ksuba should always be deraisa bizman hazeh, because he gives it the shtar. And they made the suter. So the poskim was saying, Ebn Ezra, no, the whole chiyuv ksuba is the rabbanon. And the writing of the shtar is just to attest to the fact that there is a ksuba de rabbanon here. And the Tosefes ksuba, that'll be there, I said.
So there, where you need on Hodas Baldin, that's where you're trying to make a kinyan agav, for example?
Yeah, if you have a kinyan agav.
Why didn't Tosefes just say not to do that, but to do either the shtar or the ksuba?
Not to do what?
The Balei Tosfos always used to
make a kinyan agav, and the guy didn't have a penny to his name. He didn't have any karka. Let's say you make a harshoah. I send a shliach to collect money from someone else. The other guy can say, Labal Dram Dadiya, don't bother me. So it only works if I makna the chov to the shliach. I make him into a mursha. How you makna? So the Gemara says, makna agav karka. I don't have any karka. So it doesn't matter. Haidoaz baldin kamein and dami. I'm moided that I have karka, and that I was makna them the chiyav. The halvoa, that I'm entitled to collect the money from the other person, I'm a makna, the chov halvoa, agav the karka, which I never had. But I made a hadoas baldin that I did have karka. Now it's makna, so hadoas baldin works.
Yeah. So isn't Rebbe saying here, though, what we do nowadays, we could do in shtar?
Yeah, today you don't need agav. Today you make either suter or shtar. We do both.
So
the rabbi gives a handkerchief to the chos and that suter. And then he writes in the shtar. So you have suter and shtar. Either should work min haTorah.
So why didn't Tosfos say that there? That you could just do kinyan shtar?
That was their final answer. Tosfos' final answer was, you can create a hischaivus. But originally the Balei Tosfos thought that there is no, it doesn't exist. You can't create a hischaivus yeshmeyai. But the final answer is that you can. We do it all the time. That suter is good to create a hischaivus. Suter is the one kinyan that works to mekoyne a karka and to mekoyne metaltalim at the same time. All the other kinyanim, either they work on karka, they work on metaltalim, they don't work on both. That's in Nesivis, commenting on it. Nesivis quotes of Bnei Yeshua in the second parak in Gitna. Kinyani karka don't work on metaltalim, kinyani metaltalim work on karka. The one and only kinyan that works on both is suited, because it says, Zos lefonim yisrael lekayem kol dover. It works on anything and everything. So because of that word kol, lekayem kol dover, it works on anything and everything. So that's why we assume it even works to create a hischaivus. So kinyan sud is good to create a hischaivus. Then whether kinyan shtar is good to create his chayvus, I write down, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100,000. So that's a machlekes of Yechanan and Rish Lakish and Daf Kuv Beis Amud Aleph. And we pass on like Rabbi Yechanan, that chayv ani lachmana b'shtar does create a his chayvus. And if you don't make any kinyan, you didn't make a kinyan suited, you didn't make a kinyan shtar, you can't just say orally, I hereby obligate, I accept by myself an obligation to give you $100,000. So all the Rishonim hold that doesn't create his chayvus. The one who stands out and says not so is the Rambam. The Rambam and the Ran on Daf Kuv Beis. The Ran and the Rav holds like the Rambam. They said he can create his chayvus just b'dvarim alone. And to transfer ownership of a bien, that's the first line in the Rambam, Hilchus Mechira. Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, Ein HaMekech Nikne B'dvarim. Just by declaring, I hereby declare that the Gemara belongs to you, that my apartment belongs to you, so you can't make a haknoah on a bien with an oral declaration. So the Balei HaTosfos held, all the Rishonim held, you can't create his chayvus either with an oral declaration. You need either a kinyan suter or you need a kinyan shtar. And the Rambam stands out, the Rambam and the Ran stands out, they say no. They say that you can't create a his, you can't transfer ownership of the bien without a maaseh kinyan, but you can't create a his chayvus mamon without a kinyan. Why does the Gemara always say you need dafka kana miyado? So the Ran explains, if you make a kinyan ala tanai, then you need Kohen Miyada. But if you make a Kenyan, Balit Tanai, I just say, no strings attached, I obligate myself to give you $100,000 under all conditions. So then according to the Rambam, the Hischaivus is Chal B'dvarim alone. But if I say, I obligate myself to give you the value of the behemoth, if the behemoth should get lost, I accept upon myself, let's say, I become a shomer for a goy, and the Min HaTorah there's no Shmira La'akum, so there's no Hischaivus. But if I make a Kabbalah's Kinyan Suter, then you need Suter to create the Hischaivus, because that's a Hischaivus Al HaTanai. Hischaivus Al HaTanai, according to the Rambam, is Asmachta. It's a new definition of Asmachta. Yet, you don't even have to write anything. You don't have to say shtar. Just say, I hereby accept upon myself an obligation to give you $100,000. So it's chal. And the Mechaba quotes this Rambam. So the Tzoris HaChoshim was so startled. He said, that can't be. That's impossible. Against Taisus Olov, which is true. It's against all the Taisus in Hashas. So he reinterpreted the Rambam. Rambam never said it. The Rambam did say it. Taisus disagrees. It's machlek, it's Taisus and the Rambam. But the Rambam clearly did say it. The Vilna Gaon points out that where in the world did the Rambam get his new definition of asmachta? That asmachta lo kanya means when you make a hischaivus bidvarim ala tanai, that's called asmachta. Where did he get that? So the Vilna Gaon said that's a unique interpretation based on the Sefer Mekech HaMemkel of Rav Haigon. So it's based on Mekech HaMemkel of Rav Haigon. But the Taisus doesn't agree at all. Taisus disagrees in a big way. Okay, what's a mem amar alef? We had a famous discussion here, Ramban. The Gemara is bothered with a kasha. Mishnah says the only time you have the obligation to marry the anusa in a shoyse batzitzu, he has to marry that girl whether if the girl wants him to. I would assume the girl would probably hate him. He was ma'anasar, so why should she want to marry him? But somehow she's afraid she's never going to get a shidduch because she's a ba'ula. And she says, I want him to marry me. So then the Torah says, that's part of his punishment. He has to marry her. That's what the Achrenim have a shayla. We say, Moide b'knas is potter. So the payment of the Chamishim Shekel Kesef Onis HaMefata, that's knas. And the Mishnah says, Moide b'knas is potter. That's the top Mishnah, Mem Aleph HaMem Aleph, that he doesn't have to pay. He's Moide in the bushes of Begam, that he does have to pay. That's Momen, that's not knas. What about this punishment of Eloi Seel Yisha? Lus Elish is also treated like a knas. So you say, Moide b'knas is potter. You say, no, it's a mitzvah. It's not a knas. It's an oynish, but it's not called a knas that Moide b'knas should be potter. He knows he's mechuyev to marry the girl, so let him marry without a gemar din. So that's a diun. That's a diun in the Pischei Tshuva, and other achrayim discuss that, whether you apply Moide b'knas potter here or not. So again, so the Mishnah says, if the man was ma'anis a girl, he has an obligation to marry her, provided she's not a mamzera. So let's say he's a kohen and the girl is a grusha or a rezaina. So then he's not allowed to marry her. So the Gemara raised the question, why shouldn't I apply the rule of ese deicha loy sese? How do you know there is such a rule of ese deicha loy sese? So the Gemara says, oh, we know it from mila b'tzaras, that you perform the bris mila even though there is a lav. Yisham l'cha b'nega tzaras. The Mishnah says in the Goyim, Hakotzitz Bahartoi is like if a person cuts off a Negat Saras before he shows it to the coin. If he shows it to the coin says Tahor, so then he's allowed to cut it off. But if you cut off the Negat Saras before showing it to the coin, then you're Mevatel a Mitzvah. Yisham Lecha Negat Saras Lishma Merod Velasas Kuchol HaShayor Rescha Makohanim Alvim. So if you cut off the Negat Saras and look to avoid having to show it to the coin, then you're in violation of the law. Where was there a law? So the Gemara says, whoever violates an aver that's similar to losachsim shabedisha gets malchus. What's similar to losachsim shabedisha has to say lo, like losachsim shabedisha, or al, or it says hishomer. The Gemara says, whenever it says hishomer pen v'al, it's a loisess. So here it says hishomer lecha benegat zaras. This means be careful not to cut off the negat zaras. The Mishnah says one who's cuts his baharta, one who cuts off a baharis, before he shows it to the kohen, and the kohen didn't pass kentohar, is loike. So the Gemara gives that as an example of Esa Dechaloi Sesa. You're permitted and obligated to perform a bris milah on the baby, even though the moel knows that there's an Egat Saras over there, even though the father knows that there's an Egat Saras. That's based on Esa Dechaloi Sesa. So Tosis writes on the top line, Om Rabbi Natam, Simona bi Alma Nakte. That's not really a good example of Esa Dechaloi Sesa, because the big sugya of Esa Dechaloi Sesa appears in the beginning of Yevamos. The Gemara says there, although es is decha loy sese, but ain es a decha loy sese vi es. It can be decha if there are two isurim. There's a mitzvah sese and a mitzvah loy sese. So the Gemara says that with respect to kaitzitz baharis, there's both an es and a loy sese, prohibiting cutting off the negat tzaras. So you can't say that performing the bris milah on the baby and cutting off the negat tzaras is an example of es a decha loy sese. It's a bad example. Because the klal should have been ain eser decha lo sese v'yes. Hakam takir is decha. Hakam takir is decha. Why shouldn't I learn out from here that eser kol ha-Torah kula? Learn out of mamatzinu. Just like we have a pasuk that you're permitted and obligated to perform the bris milah, the mitzvah sese bris milah, even though you're in violation of the eser v'lo sese. So derive from here to kol ha-Torah kula that eser decha lo sese v'yes. So Tesis quotes the Gemara Yimam and says no. Maybe it's different over here because she can't nichrus or aleha yud gimel brises. Then in Parshas Lech Lecha, the word bris appears 13 times. It means there's a bris on the whole Taryag mitzvahs. There's a bris on the whole Torah, but then there's a specific bris on Aseres Adibris. They're called Luchas Abris. So all the Aseres Adibris have a separate bris, and a bris mila, it's a separate bris. And the word bris is mentioned 13 times in the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. So it's a special yotzim in a klal. The klal yuli is, essay is not decha lo sese vi essay. And here it's an exception to the rule. So what is the typical example? What is a normal example of Eser Decha Lo Sese? So although in the Gemara they said, Mila B'Tzaras, that's a bad example. So it says, what it really should say is, Kalayim B'Tzitzis. The Gemara Yavama says, that is the Mokar. That is the Mokar. That the Pasuk says, G'dilam Tassel Chal Arba Kamfus Kuzcha She'techase Bo. And then it says right next to that, not to wear shatnas. Beg a climb shatnas layala alecha. They're one posik next to the other. When you have two dinim in the same posik, that's called a hekesh. We assume that there's a connection between the two. When you have two dinim and two psukim that are next to each other, that's called smuchim. So the Gemara has in there, in the beginning of Yivam, the Gemara has a machlekes atanaim. Do you darshan smuchim in the entire Chumash, or you only darshan smuchim in Mishnah Torah? So this is one of the many, many, many examples of a drosh of smuchim in Chumash Dvarim. Chumash Dvarim is called Mishnah Torah. So we darshan smuchim, and that is the mocker for kol ha-tarakula, that eser decha loy sese, because the need to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis is decha de loy sese of kilayim. And what way? Where is it decha de loy sese of kilayim? Where do you have an example? What's the tzorech? Why is there a tzorech to violate kilayim in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis? So Tosfos says like this, there is a machlokes hatanoim and menachos and berakat chelos. Which garments, which materials are chayiv in tzitzis menater? So one Tana says only menater, called beggar home of atar is either tzemer or pishtim. Either woolen garment or linen, and a cotton garment or silk garment or other materials are only chayiv midirabban. And the other opinion in Tanoim is no. You have a drosha from the Machlokes had a darshan the Psukim. The other Tana holds of the opinion that even Sharb Gadim is also Chai Menater. But a Beged Tzemet Bepikshtim that L'choladeis Yechai Menater and Tzitzis. Now let's say the person has a four-cornered Beged Pishtim. He has a linen garment that has four corners to it. So it's Chai to put in Tzitzis. The mitzvah Tzitzis Bishlei Musa is Tcheles with love. And if you have one without the other, you're only in fulfillment of the mitzvah to a partial extent. You only get partial schar. The complete mitzvah Bishlei Musas is tcheles with lavan. And then Tosfos quotes the Gemara that tcheles has to be a specific dye from a specific source. If you use indigo, that's what the Oruch is, a dictionary, written by Rabbi Nosson Miromi, in the days of Rashi. So the Oruch writes that Kloilon, the Gemara says Kloilon was the exact same color as Tcheles, but it wasn't acceptable. It was possible at Tcheles, because it didn't come from the Chalozet. So the Orach writes, what is Kloilon? So he says indigo. Indigo comes from a vegetable that grows from the ground. The Tcheles color has to come from a specific sea animal, a dog, whatever a dog means. So the Tosis quotes, not only does Tchelus have to be a specific color, Tchelus damal rakia should be blue, the color of the sky. That's also Shaila. Blue, the color of the sky, when? So the Rambam says the color of the sky in the afternoon, light blue, and Rashi says the color of the sky at midnight. Rashi and Chumash writes the color of the sky at midnight. That it should represent Makkas Bukharis, which took place at midnight. So Tashaila, it comes from the same source. The only question is, should you dilute the dye a lot that it should be light blue? Or should you not dilute it, then it should be dark blue, but it's the exact same color. Whether according to the Rambam or according to Rashi, just the machleg is how much you should dilute it.
Right there.
I don't know. It's a question. It's a good question.
Okay, I think the Tchelos company in Eretz Yisrael, it used to be a darker blue. Like 10 years ago, the Tchelos that they sold was a darker blue than the one now.
Yeah, you can get whatever you want. If you want a darker blue, you place an order. They'll give you dark blue. They just dilute it less. Yeah. So Tosis quotes the Gemara that the Tchelos has to be from a specific source. The dye has to be a specific source. And the strings that you're going to dye Tchelos have to be from Tzemer. Tchelos Amrohu. Amra is Tzemer. Has to be Tzemer. So if you have a Begel Shel Pishton and then you're going to put in Chutim, so the Chutim of Tchelos have to be Tzemer Chutim. If you're going to just dye the Chutim of Pishton, you're not Yotzei in the Mitzvah of Tchelos. Just like if you're going to get blue from Kloilon, a different source, even though it's the exact same color of blue, indigo, it's not acceptable. So even if you have Tchelos from the right source, from the Chalozon, but the string that you dyed is not Tzemer, so it's not acceptable. In fact, the Gemara there says in Menachos, that's an objection. Many people wear Tchelos Bizman Hazeh. The Gemara says in Menachos, it's only acceptable if it's Tzemer. Tzemer Gemalim is not acceptable. It has to be Tzemer Rechelim, from a sheep. It has to be a sheep that came from a sheep, all the way back till Sheshes May Bereshes. If there was a hybrid anywhere, so Tognish, that's almost 6,000 years. So do we have such a Ksad Yichas? Do we have the Rochel, this sheep goes around with a tag on its neck, that I am a Rochel, Bas Rochel, Bas Rochel, all the way back that there wasn't a hybrid? Maybe once in a while they have an Isui Tarubis. You have a Gedi, a Taya Shabo Ala Rochel. You have a goat. It's Baala Rochel. The Rochel, the Vlad, will also have wool, but it won't be exactly the same as Rochel all the way back at Rochel. So that's a question. It could well be that today, that probably there's no wool in the world, that we know for sure that this is all the way back to Sheshes May Bereshis, this is Rochel. That's what some claim, that they're not going to waste their time, not going to waste their money to use Tchelos Bizman Hazeh. We know that the sheep where we cut off the wool from is a Rochel, Ben Rochel, all the way back.
What about the tzitzis themselves now? The wool tzitzis, how do they know that?
No, the tzitzis, that's not a problem. Whatever material the garment is, so the same material is the tzitzis, the strings.
That you can use any strings.
Yeah, the Gemara says if you have a silk garment, so you can use silk strings for the tzitzis. You need tefillah lishma, it has to be manufactured L'shem tzitzis, but they have silk strings. Whatever material the beged is, that's what material you can use for the chutim.
Maybe we should be choshesh
that
the beged is real
tzemer
and the tzitzis are from not rachel bas
rachel. Maybe the beged is real tzemer.
The beged is really from a rachel
and the tzitzis.
Is a
hybrid. That's a good question, but people have been doing that for centuries. Everybody did that. That's a good question. Maybe the beged that you're wearing is real tzemer, and the chutim that you think are tzemer are a hybrid tzemer. So how is it that for so many centuries everybody's been putting tzemer strings on a tzemer beged? Maybe the beged is real tzemer, and the only strings that will be acceptable would be real tzemer. And maybe the strings are imitation. Maybe the strings are hybrid. I don't know. That's a very good...
No pitle?
What do you mean?
I mean, all the way down that line, it happened once, and subsequently it always gets less.
Maybe it's 99.99%, maybe that's enough. Could be. So someone has to research that. It could be that there's a way to test it also. It could be that there's a biological test. well, by which you can tell whether this is from a hybrid or not. It could be when you reach a certain point, the 99% rachel, 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 all the way back. You know, if you had one gidi in the middle, maybe it is good. But it's a good question. So that, that's a good issue.
If you hold dark blue or light blue, does that mean the other one holds that that's possible?
I don't know. That's what he asked. Is that Ma'akeh B'Di'evit? The light blue and the dark blue, that's a good question. Is that Ma'akeh B'Di'evit? I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think so. Nochamol. So Tosfos says, Tosfos just quoting a Gemara. Most of the Tosfos in Shas are just quoting other Gemaras. Most of the time, Tosfos just fills in all the missing information that they collect all the other Gemaras. So here they're just collecting other Gemaras. Then they add on the Rabbi Natam's original Chiddush. So they collect the Gemara. The Gemara says, how do you know that there's a din in Kol HaTorkula Esed Echalai Sesei? So it cannot be that it's based on Mila B'Tzaras. That's Ein Esed Echalai Sesei V'Yesei. That's a Yotzim in HaKlal. That's a special din. Kol V'Nichrusu Alehu Yud Gimel Brises. The Bris Mila is Deche Ketzitzas Baharis, despite the fact that it's Sesei V'Loi Sesei. That's a separate halacha. That's not in Kol HaTorkula. But where do you learn out to call a terakula from klayim is muta bitzitzis. If you wear a beged shal pishtan, you're permitted to put in chute itzemer. You have no choice. The chutem of tchelis have to be chutem of tzemer, because there are two requirements. It has to be a specific color from a specific source. It has to come from the chalazin, and it has to be dafke wool. It has to be wool all the way back till sheshes may breshes. Rachel bas rachel all the way back. Everything sheep, all the way back. Yeah. So from there you learn out the Kol HaTorkula that Esed Dechalai Sese, yeah. So and the Gemara says the only time you apply Esed Dechalai Sese is when Reish Lakish says that Kol Mokam Shatamotze Esed Dechalai Sese Im Ati Yochel Lekayim Shneim Mutov Im Lav Yobo Esed Dechalai Sese. If it's Iepshel Lekayim Shneim, the Gemara says Gomila B'Tzaras Dechalai Epshel Lekiyumela Esed. If you can't fulfill the essay without violating the law, then you say that it's the. But over here, so it sounds from the Gemara as if over here it's Epshe L'Kayim Shneim. What? The fellow will not be in violation. Let's say the girl is a mamzeris. So the fellow will not be in violation of marrying the mamzeris. It's not absolutely necessary for him to marry the mamzeris. If the girl says, I don't need it, so the whole essay doesn't apply. So why is that called Epshel Lekayim Shneim? He's not going to be Mekayim the essay, Lo Yisei Li Yishu. The Gemara is Epis Megumgum. Why is that called Epshel Lekayim Shneim? That's what Tosfos says. The Gemara is a whole discussion. If my father wants a cup of hot tea on Shabbos, and he asks me, please cook me a cup of hot tea, the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, Ishim Eliyahu Tirova Shabbos Tishmaru. It's in the same Pasuk. And Parshas Kedoshim, Ishim Eliyahu Tirash Abseisu Tishmor. That's a hekesh. That's in the two dinim in the same pasuk. So even though there's a mitzvah, Kibud Avim and Mor Avim to service the parents, but you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to service the parents. So why would I have thought that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos if the father will say Loi Bino, he said Lo Yisei Klal. The father says I don't need the cup of hot tea. So then there won't be any essay of Kibud Avim. So why don't you say the same as over here? The answer is no, but if the father asks for the cup of hot tea, then you have an essay. So here also, the girl wants him to marry her. Why does the Gemara consider that Epshel Lekayim Shneim? It's very strange. The Gemara is Megumgum. That's what Tosfos says. Why is that called Epshel Lekayim Shneim? If she'll say, I don't want to marry him, so there's no essay at all. But it's not called Epshel Lekayim Shneim. So that's what the Ramban learned, a different pshat. We're not sure exactly how it fits into the words of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Yamar Labinim Yisei Esel Klal. Therefore, It's called Epshel Lekayim Shneim. Megum Gam and the Gemara. What did the Ramban say? A different Mishnah. He says that the Gemara here is saying the exact same thing as the Gemara above Metziah and Daf Lamed. But the Gemara says if a Kohen sees an Aveda fall into the Beis HaKvaris, the Kohen is not permitted to be Mitame in the Beis HaKvaris in order to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Why don't you say Esa Dechalei Sesei? The mitzvah says if Hashavas Aveda should be Dechel Elo says of Tumas Kohanim. So the Gemara says because Midachina Nisura Mikami Mamoina. The Gemara says that Hashavas Aveda is a mitzvah should be Nodim Lachaveira. Tumas Kohanim is an Aveira should be Nodim Lamokam. So Benodim Lachaveira is called Mamoina, Benodim Lamokam is called Isura. So the Gemara has a klal Midachina Nisura Mikami Mamoina. A mitzvah should be Nodim Lachaveira is never Dechel aloy sese shemin adam lamakim. Where do we have esedech aloy sese? Klein betzitzes. So tzitzes bin adam lamakim, and klein bin adam lamakim. So esedech aloy sese. But you're going to say, all the Ramban explains it further. He says, all of the mitzvahs, esed shemin adam lachavera, are based on the haftar l'racha kamoich, I have to take care of other people's needs, considering them as if they would have been my own needs. So what's the din if it would have been my aveda? The Kohen lost an aveda in the cemetery. He's driving on his car, and he had luggage on top, and the luggage falls into the cemetery. Would anybody's right mind think the Kohen is allowed to be metame l'meisa in order to take care of his own luggage? He's not allowed to. He has to ask another Jew. He has to ask a goy to do it. He's not allowed to go there himself. So you cannot say Hashavas Aveda should be Deicha Eloi Sesei of Tumas Kanu because that's a Deicha Eloi Sesei. No. The whole essay of Ben Adam Achver is to treat the other person's needs. So if it would have been my own needs, if it would have been my needs, it's not Deicha anything. So Ramban says that's what the Gemara meant to say over here. If the girl would say, Lo Be'ino, I don't want to marry him, Isei Le Essei Klal, there won't be an essay. So that's a proof, that's a Hoichacha, that the nature of the mitzvah of Eloi Sei Le'isha is a mitzvah shebin adam lachaver. It's not a mitzvah shebin adam lamakam. It's a shibud bin adam lachaver. And memela we apply the rule midachin and isurim mikami mamoina. Mitzvah shebin adam lachaver is never doich alo sesu shebin adam lamakam. The pashtus says that it sounds like a very good rule that whenever the person can be moichal, that's a chacha, then it's bin adam lachaver. If the person cannot be moichal, then it's bin adam lamakam. Somebody showed me a minchas chinuch that the minchas chinuch says. The Yisr Chayvul Bachaveira is an Yisr Bin Adam Lachaveira. So if the other person gives me permission to cut off his arm, I'm not in violation of the Yisr Chayvul Bachaveira. So that's, and he says the same by Chayvul Ba'aviv Vibi'imai. If the parents give me permission to beat them up, so he says there's no love. That's very strange. The din is also Lodim Lachbo Biatzma. I'm not allowed to be Chayvul in my own body. I, but I'm Moichel. So you see, Mechila doesn't work. So how can he say that Mechila works? If someone else gives me permission to cut up his body and to cause him to bleed, I can say permission ups. That's exactly the din. Also, l'adam lachbol b'yatzmai. We have by mikal al chaveroi. You're not allowed to curse someone else. What about mikal al atzmo? So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk, a person is in violation of a law if he curses himself. So the Mishlah Melech has a sefer parashas drachim, sefer of drush. At the end of the Sefer Drush, he has the Kuntres Derech Mitzvah Secha. It's a few comments, about 30 pages or so, a few comments on the Minyan HaMitzvahs. He compares Minyan HaMitzvah of the Rambam and the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch and the Smag, comments here and there. So one of the comments that he writes, now they printed Derech Mitzvah Secha at the end of all the Sefer HaMitzvahs La Rambam. But traditionally, years ago, it used to be printed always in the back of the Sefer Parashas Drachim, the Jewish Sefer of the Mishlah Melech. So the Mishlah Melech shows that there's a machlokes harishonim. Was a hamakal al atzma, if a person curses himself, is he in violation of the same lav as makal al chaveiro? Or do you say they're two different lavim? So if he say that it's the same lav, so then it's a chacha that the Yisra makal al chaveiro is ben adam amokim. If he say it's a separate lav, so then the lav of Mikal Chaveiro, less Mikal Chaveirish, that's Ben Orem Chaveiro. And the lav not to curse itself, that's a separate lav, two different lav. Here by Make Atzma, Chevel Osalodim Lachbo Biatzma. I don't think anybody holds that that's counted as a separate lav. That's the same lav, Lo Yosef Ben Yosef, you're not allowed to harm anybody else. So the fact that it's Osalodim Lachbo Biatzma is a Chocha Gemura, that the lav of Chevel Bachaveiro is a lav Ben Orem Amokim, it's not Ben Orem Leah. How can Min Chaschinach say that if the other fellow is Meichel, it takes off the Yisr. A person does to himself, it doesn't take off the Yisr. So you see, Mechila doesn't work. That's a pillar.
Okay. Is Chalitza considered a Kiyum
Asay? Is what considered? Chalitza is a mitzvah Asay, yeah. Tosfos says Chalitza is a mitzvah, otherwise it doesn't make sense. How come there are parts of Chalitza that are just Lachatchila? The Rikika and the Kriyas HaPsukim are not Me'akeh B'Yevet. So they said, if it would have only been a matil, a get, there are no lachatchilas deraisa by a get. There are lachatchilas that are not me'akev, that's only midirabbanan. On the level of deraisa, there's no such thing by a get. Lachatchilas should be like this, and midirabbanan, it's good without that. But in chalitza, there are lachatchilas deraisa. That means it's a mitzvah, and the mitzvah b'shleimus says to do it like that. And if you only do the chalitza without the kriyas apsukim, without the rikika, then you yotze midirabbanan, a mitzvah shalom b'shleimus.
But everybody thinks it's not standard to say that. here where like the girl says she doesn't want some sort of kiyum. That's different.
How can it be a kiyum? I don't think so. How can it be a kiyum? Okay, tomorrow is a normal day. Tomorrow is Wednesday. No speakers tomorrow. Day was good. Okay.
Why is it not considered?